This is Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Neil Reynolds Podcast, brought to you in association with NFL Game Pass. While the playoffs continue to provide us with the thrills and spills to end the 2021 season, we're going to continue to deliver fascinating NFL life stories. And my guest this week is James Palmer, reporter from the NFL Network, an Emmy Award-winning reporter. And to those of you who follow coverage across the web and on Game Pass, you will know his voice and his face very well. As someone who spent a life in the media, speaking with my peers is something that I love to do. It's always fascinating to hear the different paths we've all taken to follow and work in the sport we all love. And I'm glad to say James doesn't disappoint. And we are going to talk for once. We're going to break the rules of this podcast, and we are going to talk the breaking news of Tom Brady's retirement. Now, before we get into James's story and Tom Brady's retirement, remember you can watch this episode in full along with every other episode from season two of the podcast by heading over to nflgamepass.com. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, please leave us a five-star rating and a nice review, please. It makes it easier for people to find us. Now, over to James. So, James, great to have you on the Neil Reynolds Podcast. I always tell players, coaches, general managers when I interview them that this is not about the news of the day. This is about your story, and we will get to your story and share some football stories. But I'm going to break the rule because there's only one day that Tom Brady's going to officially announce his retirement from the NFL.
Yeah, kind of one day.
Well, yes, good point, actually. We could get into that in a moment. But this is the day when we're recording this. Brady's announced his retirement. So, I mean, let's just talk about there's not much left to be said, is there, about how great Tom Brady was?
No, there's not a lot, Neil, to really unpack, as we've been doing it for the last couple of years, right? We did it already when he was headed towards Tampa, right? We locked up that chapter of New England and talked about it at length, about how brilliant that was. And we were curious what was going to happen. And then over the last several days, we were given the opportunity to kind of do the, you know, when you open a restaurant, there's like a soft launch. That was like kind of it, right? It was the soft launch.
You'll get used to it.
To his retirement. Yeah. So we talked about it for a couple of days. No, it's remarkable. It's the greatest player in the history of football and the history of the league. And I really don't think we had this conversation on NFL Network. You know, Patrick Mahomes is maybe the guy in line right now with the number of trips he's made to the AFC title game, and he already has a Super Bowl win under his belt to maybe catch the seven rings. Say he plays 14 more seasons. He's 26. That takes him to what, 40? He'd have to win half of his seasons, essentially, to pass Tom Brady, seven of those 14 to pass Brady. And that part, I think, puts it all into perspective of how brilliant this career has been.
Yeah, it really does, because as Mahomes has discovered, he's only won half of his AFC championship games that he's been to. So it's not even that easy to get to the Super Bowl, let alone to win them all. Any experiences with Brady? And I know a lot of what you cover is regional, or how you... I don't know how they divide everything up in the NFL Network. We'll get to that in a moment. But have you interviewed him? Have you spent some time with him?
Yeah, I've covered Tom quite a bit, actually. You know, when I started NFL Network in 2015, that was, you know, I think Patriots and Broncos went to the AFC title game. I covered that. And that was kind of my start. And after that season, Peyton Manning retires in Denver, and I'm kind of left like, oh, I guess I'm not gonna spend much time at home. And I started going to New England a lot, and I was there throughout all of Deflategate, just sitting in a hotel in Foxborough overlooking the stadium on a daily basis, just waiting for news to break on Brady, and being there, you know, on his birthday multiple years in Foxborough, and seeing them go to the length of putting goats out there with little Tom Brady jerseys on for the fans to pet as they walked in, and the fans singing happy birthday to him on the practice field at training camp in Foxborough and interacting with him. He's always been so gracious to me over the years, and covered him in multiple Super Bowls. And then the most recent Super Bowl run that he made and won with, you know, with Tampa Bay, I was lucky enough that it was a wild assignment. COVID's going on, and they're like, hey, do you want to go to Tampa? We need somebody there for Brady's first training camp and his first go with the Bucs. We don't have anybody who lives in Florida, really. And I was like, okay. So they get me an Airbnb, a doctor, essentially everything. They took care of me. And I went by myself for 34 days and covered Tampa Bay on a daily basis in Brady's first training camp, kind of just being a fly on the wall. So few of us were inside the gates and watching how he operated with a new group And I'll never forget that process of him getting that group together and getting that offense in line so quickly, and then turning around and covering that whole Super Bowl run and being there for every one of those games and being in that stadium in the Super Bowl. So I've covered all the back half end of the Super Bowl. He's always been great to me. And there's nobody that, is, in my opinion, is more competitive and cares about winning more than his actual stats, yet he holds all the records with all of his stats. If we wanted to get into it, I could give you a number of reasons why he cares about winning so much more. And I think that's why he's the greatest player ever.
Well, I mean, I certainly haven't covered him like that. So that was a major flex. That was pretty impressive. I did interview him in 2012 out in training camp in Foxborough. I actually stayed in the hotel you're talking about. And I had I had a room overlooking the stadium, overlooking the practice fields. And I actually thought, how has Belichick allowed this, first of all, this hotel where you could see over the fields? But Tom was brilliant. We met. It was after the London Olympics. We spent probably 10 or 15 minutes talking about the London Olympics before we even got to the interview. And then that was in July. The October of that year, I'm doing, you know, the big fan events I do in London for NFL UK. So I was on Trafalgar Square, and Tom walks up backstage and he's like, "Hey, Neil, looking forward to doing this with you." And I don't care if he was briefed. I don't care if somebody told him my name. I was just like, cool, Tom Brady remembered my name. That's brilliant. He's just so gracious, like you said. He such a great ambassador for the sport. He did everything the right way.
He really did. And one quick note on, I think, what makes him so good. And that example is perfect. He used to ask me in the locker room just casually, you know, where you've been in the league, you know, what are the stops have you been lately? And I think what he does, and this is a little bit of what Joe Burrow does, and this is one of the many comparisons people are making with Brady and Joe, is they're kind of chameleons in the locker room. Their ability to relate to everyone, I think, is an unbelievable trait. And at Tom's super megastar status, to still at that age, still find ways to relate and just be a regular guy in the locker room with a bunch of 20-year-olds throughout his entire career, him going up to everybody whenever they join the team and say, "Hi, I'm Tom Brady." And they all know who Tom Brady is, but still his ability to relate to everyone, no matter what their background is in the locker room, to me is one of the reasons why he's been able to do this at a team format. So he does it maybe better than anybody in terms of no matter where the person's from, he can find a way to connect with them. And that's a special skill.
Last one on Brady, then we'll get into your story. Did he hit reset quicker and better than any player in history? You talk about the desire. I mean, he seemed to always want the next one. I mean, he said that to me. So it's a famous quote he's used many times. I'm sure he used it in many interviews, but you know, he did tell me when we chatted, my favorite Super Bowl ring's the next one.
Mm-hmm. And he learned that in college, right? Yep. There was an equipment manager at Michigan that used to always say that. And he always embodied that. He did it on this last Super Bowl. I mean, even though, you know, Tom had a couple of sodas at that boat parade in Tampa, the next day he was already talking to Byron Leftwich and people in the building about, you know, maybe we make these adjustments, maybe make this. It's always working for him. I've talked to offensive coordinators. I remember Bill O'Brien telling me a story once where he got a call from Tom at like 3 a.m. He's laying in bed with his wife. He picks it up and Brady's like, "You know what we should work on tomorrow is we should work on blank and blank because they did this defense with this hash and this," and broke it on in. He's like, "Go to bed, Tom." Like, he's just always thinking to what's next, what's going to happen. And that is what has set him apart over time. We could talk about it forever, but yeah, it's always looking for the next thing. And I think he's going to crush whatever he does next. He's got a lot of options, a lot of things out there. It's going to be fun to watch.
We'll be back with more from James Palmer after this short break on the Neil Reynolds podcast.
This is Jack Crawford and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds podcast.
So Neil, Tom Brady is no more in the NFL.
I'm glad you said in the NFL. 22 seasons, 10 Super Bowl appearances, 7 Super Bowl wins. Brady is done. And we'll never see his like again. Just a really incredible career, incredible sportsman, a great ambassador for the NFL. And we can all go back and watch all of his games from this season because he threw for more yards and more touchdowns than any other quarterback in the NFL. So we can do that on NFL Game Pass. But you've been looking at other stuff you're going to watch, Gary, to get your Tom Brady fix.
Well, that's it, because I've only come into the NFL in recent years, so I've seen him in the twilight thinking he was amazing anyway. But I've been searching the Thank You Tom section on Game Pass and some incredible videos there, just seeing, you know, little mini documentaries about him, just seeing some of his highlights. It's been incredible, really. So I think for fans that want to relive some of his greatest moments you can, but then for fans that are new to the sport or just getting to know more, there's plenty in there where you can sort of really see why Brady is the legend that he is. That you see the stats, you read the stats, you see his Instagram posts with all those rings on his fingers, all that bling, and then you see how he did it, really. It's been an education for me. We did it just a few weeks ago with Madden, and now I've been able to use Game Pass to really educate myself on Tom Brady, if I didn't already know it already, but it's been great.
Yeah, and you get to see the different careers. He had an early career where he won 3 Super Bowls, then late in his career he won 4 more Super Bowls. I would actually say he was better in his second half of his career. He was like a fine wine. He got better with age. So, yeah. Check out all those on NFL Game Pass. And Gary is going to give you the details.
Yeah, so if you head to NFLGamePass.com, where at the moment it's 99p to sign up, and you'll be able to get to watch the Super Bowl as part of that, which we'll talk about next week, Neil. So let's get back to you talking with James.
Hi, I'm Bruce Arians, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
What was your journey then, James? I mean, I've only ever really known you since you started working at NFL Network, and we meet up at Super Bowls, and I can't wait till I can get back to one with the pandemic. I'm not going to be on site for this year's one, but next year in Arizona, I'm going to be looking forward to it. We've obviously spent time together in London, but I only ever know you from NFL Network. So tell me your journey up until the network, journalistically.
Yeah. Listen, I want to get to you guys as badly as you want to get to the Super Bowl. I love covering the game. I've done it every year until this pandemic hit. I think I did like 5 of them in a row before this happened. I love getting out there. And so I was born kind of into the industry. My dad was a sports broadcaster his entire life and works in Major League Baseball with the Phillies now for the last, I think, 18 years in their front office. And I mean, he covered Bear Bryant at Alabama.
Wow.
He's covered the Super Bowl, NBA Finals. You know, he covered the Eagles when they went to London as one of the first, I think, London games. What was that like?
They played Cleveland 89, I want to say. Summer of 89, 89, the American Bowl. I was at that game.
So. He was at that game too, and he was there. And so I did everything I could to fight following in his footsteps. and I went to school, and I wanted to be a teacher and a coach. My mom's a teacher. My sister's a teacher. While I was at Ohio State, the NHL team is in Columbus, Ohio, the Columbus Blue Jackets. And I did an internship there where I could just start interviewing guys and writing for their website, their brand new NHL team. And I was like, oh, no, I love doing this. this journalism bug is here. So I started I loved writing, and I loved just the interview process of getting a story out. And I started there, and I worked for the arena football team there. The Columbus Destroyers while I was in college, which is funny. Matt Nagy, I think, was the quarterback of the Columbus Destroyers, then the arena team. And I went out to Denver, my first job, start at the bottom, production assistant, worked my way up. I was covering the Mountain West Conference in football and basketball and baseball and just kind of all the college sports there. Went from there for 4 years to the SEC. For 2 years, I covered the SEC. And then I got my break in 2010 covering the Houston Texans as a beat reporter.
Okay.
So I was there for Gary Kubiak and the start of Bill O'Brien and the start of Deshaun Watson. And I went from there to NFL Network. So kind of bounced around. The biggest thing of moving all over the country, my wife's the same as we continue to do this, but kind of just really climbed the ladder up from just like running scripts and editing highlights. And I loved sitting with players. I was essentially the guy that would sit with a player for halftime or postgame shows, right? And just be like, what do you want to talk about? All right, I'll cut these clips together. And I'd sit with an editor and put that stuff. So I was like a behind the scenes guy forever. And I always just kind of dabbled in doing stuff in front of the camera. And that kind of hit in Atlanta when I was covering the SEC, which was like, whoa, this is another group from the Mountain West Conference. I'll get that. Not to slight those guys, but that's when it really started taking off. And it's been awesome. I've learned so much over the years, and I've done pretty much everything in television before I got in front of the camera. I think that's helped me, honestly.
Yeah, I can respect that. My first job in journalism, I was working in a newsroom for a local newspaper, and my job was to make tea or coffee for the reporters and to take the story that they wrote in the paper, cut out the story and file it in certain sections. So
similar. Yeah.
Then you don't miss any steps along the way. So you certainly do get the whole experience. The reason I started this podcast was because I think the NFL is filled with great stories. You know, I got to go fishing with Ryan Fitzpatrick and then I get to spend, man. That was amazing. And I get to spend time with Bruce Arians and the stories. So you just said you like the process of an interview, and Does the NFL really fill you with those stories, do you feel, when you meet players and you spend time with them and you kind of dig beyond just what we, you know, because sometimes you only have a certain amount of time to tell a certain bit. You know, if you're doing a network hit, yeah, that's not the same as spending half an hour with the guy in the locker room. But do you enjoy getting those stories out of the players?
I do, Neil. I have so much on Sunday when it rolls around. And each one of my times on television, when, say, Rich Eisen throws it to me or Kurt Warner, somebody from the studio, I have 40 seconds to tell you a story. And I have about 8 of those opportunities in a morning. So I tell you, try to get you like this inside look into what you should look for and something to bring you into the stadium are kind of my two goals in those kind of 40 seconds. Those are really limited in terms of what you get. That's why I like when I have the liberty. It's tough, but they give me the opportunity to, whenever something really hits me and I'm passionate about something, I can write for NFL.com about it. Mm-hmm. Specifically, I wrote a piece when Demaryius Thomas passed away about our relationship over the years. I knew him for a really long time. And I was able to do, you know, go back and look at all the conversations. I actually still had on my phone a bunch of lengthy, you know, conversations we had over the years. And able to look back and do something in long form in that sense. Mm. I wish I had more opportunity to sit down with players. Like, you know, I've done it with Tyrann Mathieu, and David Questenberry is probably one of my favorite ones. Yep. You know, tackle for the Titans, him overcoming cancer and coming back and playing football, being out of football with cancer for 3 years and coming back. I mean, those stories I absolutely love. I try to bring you aspects of the league that maybe you wouldn't know. I love the X's and O's, and I think I can cover those in a good sense, but I think Kurt Warner breaking down quarterback plays a little bit better than me. So right. if I can tell you some of these really interesting things that happened to these guys and how they landed on certain teams and their situations, I love that aspect. I think COVID has knocked down a little bit of our lengthy, you know, storytelling and how we get together for some of these really neat features that we get a chance to do. Hopefully we can get back to doing those a little bit more, but I love the storytelling aspect of it.
You certainly hit two things you mentioned there. So whenever I've been at the Super Bowls and I'm in my hotel room after I've been at Radio Row all day, and I've got a notebook, I've always got a notebook open in my room. And I've been doing it recently when I've been staying in a hotel, getting ready for Sky Sports, going in to do all the playoffs live. I'll just, to your credit, I reach for my notebook when you come on, because you don't just give me one of the stats from our research notes. I get the same research notes you get. We all get the same ones.
You get those too?
I do get those. Yeah, I do get those. They're nice, so man. They are really cool. But you always give something extra. And it might be a line from a press conference or a line from something a coach or a player has told you, which I think is important. And I love being taken inside the stadium. And I wonder what that's like for you, because I covered a couple of games for BBC Radio years ago. One of them was at Lambeau Field, and we got there really early to set up. And my producer was kind of new. It was BBC. They hadn't done a lot of NFL. And it was like, what are they reporting down there? I was like, oh, that's the NFL Network reporters. They're doing some hits already. The place was deserted. It was like a library. There's no one in there. And so you go from this quiet, almost cathedral-like calm, so then it must build as the day goes on. What's that like?
It really does. I mean, a perfect example, I think, was this past weekend being at the AFC Championship game. That's my 7th championship game in a row for NFL Network. Since I started with them, I've been on that game, whether it's be NFC or AFC. And it does. And sometimes you have the late game. And so you have an eternity from when you start TV to actually when it starts. But this past Sunday was the first game, and I'm there, nobody's there. And I'm trying to kind of bring, and it was surprisingly warm in Kansas City. And I kind of wanted to let people know what's happening. And one instance happened, and I found a way to work it into one of my hits. I'm standing on the Bengals sideline, and Joe Burrow airmails a ball over one of the staffers that he's warming up with. And it zips right by Boomer Esiason's head, which is like hilarious of all the people that are on the sideline to go throw it right by the most famous Bengal player of all time's head. And Boomer turns around to Joe and he's like, kid, what are you trying to do? Kill me? Like, and Burrow's just dying laughing on the field. And this is long before anybody's in the stands or anything. Burrow's one of the earliest workout quarterbacks that are out there. Like, you know, Brady Roethlisberger, they should just run out at the very end. They sometimes throw in the tunnel and stuff. Joe's out there longer than any quarterback in the league. And so I tried to work that into a hit for people, you know, and I was like, okay, I can work this into what I'm talking about with Tyrann Mathieu. So, and how he's a chess piece and how he can be used. And I know it's more difficult now with everybody getting a lot of the same information on Zoom. What I try to do with those anecdotes that you brought up is I look for like one little sentence that somebody said.
That's all you need, yeah.
And then I go, okay, now I'm going to call some people in the building and kind of work that. You know, we heard Steve Spagnuolo say, like, we couldn't run some of our coverages against Buffalo because Tyrann Mathieu was out with a concussion. So I'm like, all right, everybody just took it at face value there. So I called some defensive guys and was like, what does that mean? And they're like, well, Tyrann plays like nine positions. He's half of how we disguise everything. And when Anthony Hitchens said to me, he's like a queen on a chessboard. He's the only person that can go in he's the most versatile piece on the board. He's the only one that can do that. I was like, all right,
that's it.
This is it right here. Those private conversations, I think, are where you get it. I can get guys to open up, I think, a good amount. And those are the things that I feel like in that short period of time, what will stick in your brain and how can I bring you into the stadium?
How does it change once the fans start getting in there? You got to be focused, right?
Yeah, that's when I go from one earpiece to two earpiece, yeah, you know, and block you. Everybody out. But there's usually like people behind me going crazy. And a lot of times there's always, when you have your last couple ones, they're actually in full pads, full uniform right behind you. And a lot of those stadiums, I'm at like the 20, 25. And that's usually like D-line or something's warming up on that sideline or whatever. I know Patrick Peterson always likes to pop in on my live shot behind me. Like I'll be doing it. He'll like start dancing around behind me and you try to, you know, but it's fun because I sit there and I have my mic and I'm hardwired in and they're like, hey, we're coming to you in 5 minutes. And if they're warming up right behind me, if I know somebody, I'm going to ask them. And guys have told me that before. I remember like being in a stadium and a corner comes up to me. He's like, hey, you know, I'm going to be shadowing, you know, who tonight. I'm like, oh, okay. Appreciate it. And I'll just like turn right around. I was just told that so-and-so is going to follow so-and-so. And so I try to keep getting new information. I have everything lined up as backups, right? Essentially of what I'm going to do on TV and all of my hits. But if I can get fresher, newer information from the guys on the field like that, that's what I go with. A perfect example was Raiders Chiefs. I'm at Arrowhead earlier this year and the Raiders are on the field and they're having their pregame huddle. All of them are in pads before they go back into the tunnel one last time. And they decide to now move all the way to the Chiefs logo at midfield and do their celebration there pregame. And this is happening like while I'm about to be on TV and I'm like, Rich, I am watching right now this, and my report explodes across the internet and TV because we like left me showed that like, what are they doing? They ended up getting boat raced and run out of the building and absolutely destroyed. But it was like, wow, you know, and you try to bring people into what teams are thinking pregame and what these guys are thinking. That's to me, the extra focus and the extra nuggets you can get to help fans kind of understand where you're at and then kind of what's happening. Cause so few people get to be right there. I was at the Superdome in New Orleans when they were able to come back. And anytime there's a giant moment, it was their first game back after the hurricane. And it's an environment unlike any place. And I'll be honest, I don't really care for the stadium. It's pretty run down. But man, when the fans get going in that place, it is a rare place. But I like outdoor stadiums, the elements, the cold weather, more than the domes.
Yeah, I think Lambeau, I love Lambeau because it hasn't even got proper seats in some of the stadium.
No,
it's just benches, just bleachers, which just is fantastic. Bleachers.
Those metal bleachers that just suck the heat out of your body.
Oh, yeah.
it's just draining.
James, just two more. What do you... If there was a player that you love to, I know you said about some of the stories you tell. What about players that you've loved to interview or still do love? It's okay. That's one of my favorites to talk to.
Vaughn Miller is up there. He is one of the most charismatic, fun, different type of individuals you're ever going to come across. I could walk up to him in a locker room and he knows me really well over the years and you have no idea what Vaughn's going to talk to you about. It could be about farming. It could be about chickens. It could be about what he's been reading lately about, you know, space travel. It can be anything. And that's the fun part of talking to somebody like him. He's the first one that jumps to mind. There's some really great people in the league. Justin Simmons with the Broncos is one of them. What he does in the community is just remarkable. But I think Vaughn Miller, I'm excited to get out to LA for the Super Bowl and catch up with Vaughn a little bit. He's one of those guys that just... you have no idea where the conversation is going to go. And that nothing is more fun than that.
Yeah, definitely give you a nugget or two. You just don't know which way it's going to go with it. And the last one then. So do you have a wow moment? And you're on the sidelines for so many games every week, every season, or even maybe it's training camp. You see something. I always tell people my one, we were hosting the Super Bowl 1 year for Sky Sports in Arizona from the sidelines. And we're positioned right near the goal line. And I see Malcolm Butler pounce. I mean, like the whole world was shocked. I was in absolute shock that Malcolm Butler came out of nowhere, quite literally, and intercepted this pass. And they, the first thing they did, the producer said, we're coming to you in 10 seconds. And the first thing I'm doing is checking the flip card. You know, the I was like, where the hell has Malcolm Butler played college football? Because he wasn't the Malcolm Butler that we all knew for years after that. So that would be my one. Would that be, I mean, what one would you have if you're thinking of one that sticks out?
Well, I have two, and I'm always kind of like trying to be an observer of what's around me. And I feel so blessed and lucky to be where I'm at. I was in a tiny, tiny little room in Houston watching that comeback in the Super Bowl from the Patriots over the Falcons. And I'm looking around and I'm like, I'm in this room with like six other people. And they're like Deion Sanders, Kurt Warner, Michael Irvin. Like, I'm watching one of the greatest Super Bowl moments ever with like some of the greatest players that have ever played in the NFL. This is unbelievable. But to me, that the my favorite moment ever is Eagles winning the Super Bowl and being on that Eagles beat and being with them throughout the entire Super Bowl run, and my hometown winning their first Super Bowl and getting to host the parade for NFL Network and be the host of the parade with Colleen Wolfe, who's we went to rival high schools in Philadelphia. And so getting a chance to be standing in front of the Art Museum in a place where I used to watch the Thanksgiving Day parade as a five-year-old and then be on a riser with a headset and be telling you what's going on in the parade for the Philadelphia Eagles down Broad Street was to me like this. It can't get any better than this. I've done the parade every year. I've done the duck boats in New England. And, you know, I sat with Paul Rudd as he was my co-host for portions of the Kansas City parade. But the Philly one, being at home for that, was just unreal. And it's the greatest Super Bowl speech of all time by Jason Kelsey in the Mummer's costume. It's just, I mean, I watch it regularly. I'm a nerd about that, but it brings me back to my hometown. And that is my big, big wow moment.
I am just when you said about watching that Super Bowl with Michael Irvin and Kurt Warner, I went on a stage show tour around the UK and the guests were William McGuinness, Michael Irvin, Kurt Warner. And every time, they were great on stage, but backstage or on the bus traveling around the UK.
Learned so much about the game.
Oh my God, I was just listening to them. And I wondered if they would switch it on once they went on stage. I remember sitting backstage in Manchester or Liverpool, I think it was, and Kurt Warner and Michael Irvin are eating fish and chips, debating back and forth certain quarterback play and certain quarterbacks. Yep. I was like, these guys never switch off. There's no on switch with them. There's no on off switch.
Never stop. I had a question about Patrick Mahomes midseason about what was going on. And I called Kurt about it and we talked for an hour and a half. And I'm like, I didn't want it to end. I'm learning so much, you know, and all those guys are that way. Willie and I spent a week in Mexico together for a Mexico City game with the Patriots, and him and I were joined at the hip, and I learned so much about the game of football and the defensive side from him. It's just I'm like a sponge and a nerd about all that stuff, just like watching the parades. I can't stop talking to these guys about football. I'm lucky to do it.
So that's it for the podcast this week. Given the playoff drama, the Tom Brady drama, and the sleepless nights, there isn't a mailbag again, but we will have one ahead of the Super Bowl. So please send me your questions on Twitter using the hashtag NRP Super Bowl. Till then, it's goodbye from me. Listening to the Neil Reynolds podcast. This episode was hosted by myself, Neil Reynolds, while Gary Hayes is our producer. Gary and I have also written this series together. Our consultant producers are Kerry Levy, Nick Lapworth, and Neil Pacchietto. Matt Alabaster is responsible for all of our artwork, including the graphics and videos across our social media channels. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our theme music. If you'd like to keep up to date with everything we're doing throughout the season, then please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the NR Podcast. My personal account is also at Neil Reynolds NFL. If you've enjoyed this podcast and would like to hear more like it, then visit highway61.media. That's HWY61.media. Please tell your friends about the podcast, help spread the word. Better still, leave us a rating and a review wherever you're listening. This has been another Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network.